Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, our series of live in-studio performances, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. Today you're in for a real treat. Sons of Kemet is a London-based quartet. Their music is a fascinating blend of jazz, funk, and Caribbean music. It's hip-hop adjacent, it's politically aware, and it is played by a very unusually constructed quartet. Saxophone, tuba, and two drummers. Sons of Kemet is led by Shabaka Hutchings, the sax player who is one of the central figures on London's new music scene. And the quartet is here today to play some music from their most recent album called Your Queen is a Reptile. This piece is called My Queen is Ada Eastman.
Yeah.
Is the quartet Sons of Kemet from London here in our New York studio, and a piece called My Queen is Ada Eastman, which you'll find on the band's most recent album called Your Queen is a Reptile. Shabaka Hutchings wrote the song and played the saxophone. Good to see you again.
Thanks.
Thank you for bringing the band in. Theon Cross playing the tuba. Behind Theon is Edward Hicks on the right-hand drum kit, and behind Shabaka on the left-hand drum kit is Tom Skinner. And your album, you know, posits all these women from the African diaspora as like real queens, you know, worthy of the title of queen. And it sent a lot of people, myself included, to the internet to find out who all these women were.
Yeah.
Ada Eastman did not turn up in an internet search.
No, she won't be on there.
Who is she? She's
my great-grandmother, who I met when I moved to Barbados. I lived there between 6 and 16. She lived until 103 years old. And she was really the matriarch of the family. She took care of everyone and made sure that generations to come would actually, you know, do a lot better than her or anyone from her community had done. Mm. So she was a source of strength and like resilience, even up to now. And, you know, thinking back on her memory makes me just understand what we're actually here to do.
Wow. You know? So you actually, I mean, I knew one of my great-grandmothers briefly, you know, she died when I was 6 or 7, but you actually had like formative experiences with this woman.
Like, one of my earliest memories of being in Barbados is seeing her on the roof of her house with a hammer, just like kind of fixing a hole.
Wow.
And she only died when I actually came back to England. So my, you know, I spent the whole 10 years going to her house every Sunday and not really knowing her.
Now, did your great-grandmother, did she use salty language? Because on the record, this piece has some guest vocals that we could never get away with putting on the radio here.
No, she didn't use salty language, but, you know, times have changed.
Yeah.
And in some ways, the message that the song is saying is still here. Like, we are, you know, as people of a diasporic origin, we're going to be here regardless of the trials and tribulations that we're facing.
Right.
And in some ways, that's the message that she has imparted on us, the fact that she's still going to be here striving and trying to make a better life for herself. And sometimes fruity language is the best way of getting across, you know, those sentences.
But now here, obviously, you did the piece instrumentally, and where the vocals are on the record, you took a solo. Mm. And, you know, people talk about a player making the saxophone sing or wail. You make it speak.
Mm.
You know, there are moments where you're kind of settled in on one or maybe two notes and using almost the rhythm patterns of speech as opposed to song. Where does that come from?
It comes from a lot of things, trying to get the inflections of hip-hop MCs, trying to get the inflections of bashment and reggae MCs, and trying to get another like rhythmic language into my head. As the saxophone, we have a language. We have a language that's come to us from, you know, the great American jazz tradition. But for me, my heritage is Afro-Caribbean. So I wanted to start with that, like see if I could get the phrasing and the nuances and the accents from these kind of reggae and calypso singers. And now then I've approached, you know, hip hop with the same sentiment, you know.
So the album is called Your Queen is a Reptile, and every track on it begins with the phrase, My Queen is. Mm. And some of them are famous, Harriet Tubman, Angela Davis. Many of them are not well known at all. But there is this kind of neat call and response between the album title and each of these song titles. You know, Your Queen is a Reptile, My Queen is Ada East, My Queen is Nanny of the Maroons, My Queen is... I don't know whether you were intentionally calling back to that sort of musical device, but it certainly seems to be there.
One of the things is that in some ways it's like a taunt. It's trying to really bring up the concept of myth in relation to who we see as our leaders. It's saying, your queen is a reptile, my queen is dot, dot, dot. I challenge you to name your queen, and in naming your queen, to name the values that you ascribe to your female leaders.
Right.
You know, and for someone to do that means to actually assess the structures that surround them in terms of leadership, the myths that we take as a given. So I say, your queen is a reptile. I challenge you to define your queen. It might be that you say, yeah, my queen is a reptile, and that's fine as well, I guess.
You may say, my queen is Elizabeth II.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Elizabeth.
But for you, obviously, there are many other things involved in being a queen and being able to get out on the roof and fix a hole with a hammer at 95 or 100 years old. That's pretty regal stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of the women that we deal with on the album, they've done things for their community.
Right.
You know, they've dedicated their lives, like for instance, Harriet Tubman, not only to bettering herself, but to then going back and making sure that the community that she had seen was enslaved was able to then go forward and achieve the same level of freedom that she could. And that's a message that I've tried to not forget. In, for instance, our journey forward as a band achieving some level of success, that in some ways it's not just about us and our personal journey, it's about how can we go back and help the community that we've come from achieve some level of the kind of freedom, relative level of the freedom that we assume because of our current status.
Right. And the band has lots of fans right in this building, right. but all over the place. But you also have lots of bands. I mean, there's Chewbacca and the Ancestors and the We Out There project that you sort of were central to. And so when this idea came up, did you know that this was a Sons of Kemet thing as opposed to any of your other bands or projects?
Well, for me, the concepts of the albums aren't things that happen outside of real life. So it's not that we go, we are going to make a political album. These are the political ideas that we want to have within this, you know, album structure. These are just the concepts that are around at the time. And it happens that Sons of Kemet was recording an album at that time. So this is what we depict. Because as artists, our job is to actually just depict the reality that we live, you know, the concepts and ideas that we're actually dealing with on an individual and social basis. We put them out in the music as and when they come up. So for instance, when we do the next Sons of Kemet album, the job for us isn't just to be composing the music. It's going to be to see what is the zeitgeist, what are the things that we're dealing with on individual levels, and try to find some way of articulating that within the, you know, the sonic music.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Harriet Tubman and not just looking out for herself, but for the wider community here in the States. And the piece you're going to play next is, in fact, My Queen is Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
But then you're going to go directly into My Queen is Mamie Phipps Clark. And she was one of the people I had to look up. And it was like, she's a super impressive person.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to look her up as well?
Well, she's one of the people who was actually recommended to me. In doing research for the women that we were going to pay homage to, I put a call out on Facebook and said, you know, does anyone have inspirational women? And I just did a lot of research on these women, just had it as a process of learning, just on a personal level. And she was one of the big leaders in the battle to desegregate schools in the US and did a lot of sociological research,
right,
talking about how the institution of segregation was illegitimate in a way.
And how destructive it was for kids,
exactly, yeah,
who were growing up in that kind of institutionalized segregation. And so you're going to play these two back-to-back for us?
Yeah.
Okay. We're speaking with Chewbacca Hutchings and hearing the band Sons of Kemet playing for us here on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast. Oh, Once again, Sons of Kemet live here in our studio on this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast, our live series of in-studio performances from newsounds.org. The latest album by Sons of Kemet is called Your Queen is a Reptile. We've just heard two alternate possible queens. That last piece is called My Queen is Mamie Phipps Clark. Before that, My Queen is Harriet Tubman. The band Sons of Kemet is a quartet. The front line is Shabaka Hutchings on sax and Theon Cross on tuba. The second line is Edward Hicks and Tom Skinner behind the dueling drum kits. And Shabaka, just from a purely logistical, a practical standpoint, with two drummers occupying the same sonic space, how do you make that work?
You just got to communicate and be sensitive to the fact that it's not one drum kit.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I tell them it's not a gig, it's a social experiment to see how we can all occupy the same space with a limited set of sonic resources.
Huh.
You know.
And was that one of the ideas behind the quartet in the first place?
Not in the first place, but as we kind of realized what it was and what the challenges were that were facing us from a technical perspective, this came up as an idea, like how do we actually interact together as a musical community on stage, with everyone giving their best,
right,
without stepping on anyone's toes, so everyone is free to express themselves, but with a sensitivity to the fact that if we all express ourselves, there has to be some kind of compromise.
And I know that you've had to explain this many times, but the band name, Sons of Kemet, Kemet is?
The word of ancient Egypt. My name's Shabaka. I'm named after the last Nubian king who united Upper and Lower Egypt and who codified a lot of what we now see as Kemeticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've mentioned the word community a number of times now, and there seems to be an incredibly vibrant, active community of musicians in London.
Yeah.
That I mean, there always has been, but there's something new in the air, it seems, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a difference in the way that the audience is receiving music that has a jazz background, and a difference in just the diversity of the players that you see on stage. So it feels like there is a shake-up in what jazz looks and sounds like, you know, in London at the moment. People, the media and the audiences are just really responding to it. You know, we just sold out our next headline London gig, which is about 1,200 capacity.
So, wow.
And it's one of those things where you're getting groups like ours being able to play to big audiences, which wasn't the case necessarily like 10, 15 years ago.
Now, have you been able to play for or at least send the record to any of the women on the album? I mean, I know many of them are gone. The Nanny of the Maroons lived in the 18th century, but Angela Davis is still with us. Doreen Lawrence is still around.
I've been told that that someone was going to try to source Angela, source a contact for Angela Davis and send it to her. I'm going to try to maybe chase up on that now that I'm in the States. And similarly with Doreen Lawrence, I've been on the road so much since the record's come out, it's kind of like lost me chasing up all the women personally.
But yeah, yeah.
It's definitely something that we've been looking into.
Well, it's a fabulous record. And if you'd like to know more about it, Shabaka and I did an interview on your turf in London earlier this year. You can find that on our website at newsounds.org. Shabaka, to you and the band, thank you so much for coming in. It's been great fun.
Thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.